My guest at this time is Will Yateman. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Washington. We've asked him to offer his analysis today as the New York Times and others are reporting the Obama administration is planning to propose cutting greenhouse gas emissions from airplanes. And Will, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This is certainly in line with other proposed EPA regulations, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But, Will, is this considered an especially aggressive move potentially by the EPA, or given what we've seen with cars and trucks and other fuel efficiency mandates from government recently, is this pretty much what we could have expected?
Well, I think the latter, insofar as it's really indicative of how the Clean Air Act works. That is to say, the agency didn't really have a choice here. This was going to be a non-discretionary decision, and that's for the simple reason they've knocked down the first domino. Without getting into too much legal detail and boring your audience, I'll just note that the Clean Air Act is an interlocking mechanism such that regulation begets further regulation. The upshot is, when this administration made the choice to use the Clean Air Act as its vehicle to mitigate climate change, it in essence locked itself in on this course, and it doesn't stop here. I mean, the dominoes will keep on falling, and the logical end, which is pretty scary, is something that is known as a greenhouse gas national ambient air quality standard. And that would effectively necessitate the deindustrialization of the United States of America economy. So that's the sort of frightening end game, and it's where we're headed due to this administration's poor, foolish choice, I'd argue, to get this ball rolling.
Well, let's follow up on that point. Obviously, that's a pretty major charge you have there. Is essentially what's happening here is as they go and target different areas of emissions, that ultimately somebody's going to have to be the worst polluter, depending on what's been addressed most recently. And if you bring them down, then the next person on top has to be brought down until we're down to zero. Or is there a different approach here?
It is. It's more the kind of a haphazard, albeit interlocking nature of the Clean Air Act. So it's not necessarily that they've got to go down to the lowest emitter. It's just that one program, for example, the program for cars that they started in 2010, well, that triggered the program for stationary sources. And they promulgated that in 2011 for power plants. They've actually got a pending rule for existing power plants, and that triggered the one for airplanes. So, and you know, that will trigger the one further down the road for marine vessels. But ultimately, the big kahuna at the end game, I mean, the last trigger, is this regulatory program known as National Ambient Air Quality Standards, or NAAQS, and the logic by which they started the ball rolling. There's no real way around that ultimately leading to one of these greenhouse gas national ambient air quality standards, or NAAQS. That's what they're known here inside the Beltway. But yeah, it's a scary proposition. I mean, the fact is, by starting this path, they've put the ball in the environmental special interest court, and now these green litigation groups can do what they do best, which is sue the government and force their hand. Ultimately, again, the scary end game is that of this regulation known as the NAAQS, the Greenhouse Gas National Ambient Air Quality Standard. So this is the latest link along this chain, this greenhouse gas regulation for airplanes. We don't know how stringent or what form it will take yet. We do know that the administration didn't want to do this, that there is international negotiations ongoing about addressing aviation emissions, and the administration didn't want its hand forced by the green groups, but alas, that's the way the law works, and that's where we are today.
That actually might surprise a lot of people, especially with this particular EPA and green groups usually in agreement in general on policy. These lawsuits you mentioned could potentially be seen as kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, we're fighting, but we're all really headed towards the same goal here. But you're saying they're actually not, that this is actually going even further than the Obama administration would like to.
To be sure. I mean, the phenomenon you just noted, which we refer to here inside the Beltway as so-called sue and settle lawsuits, that stuff does occur. So this wink, wink, nod, nod, we sue you and thereby give you this political out. You can say, well, we had no choice because we were sued. That does happen. But in this case, it's more along the lines of this administration bit off more than it can chew. And now it's the chickens are coming home to roost, if you will.
I was going to say the horse is out of the barn, but some sort of farmland analogy works here. Well, let's talk about in our last couple of minutes here about the real-life impact of this particular regulation, if in fact it goes into place. And from what you're saying, it has no choice but to go into place potentially. What's the impact on airlines to comply with this and ultimately on consumers who want to patronize those airlines?
Well, it's increased costs. That's the direct one. I mean, it's plain and simple. I'd note this. No one has a larger incentive to decrease greenhouse gas emissions. And that's because a decrease in GHGs or greenhouse gas emissions are a function of fuel efficiency. No one cares more about fuel efficiency than the airline manufacturers. That is to say, Boeing here, and then it's the, I forget what the European ones are called.
Airbus.
Airbus, that's right. This is absolutely paramount. Their designs are wholly configured to reduce increase fuel efficiency, and thereby an ancillary benefit is to decrease greenhouse gases. The upshot is there's nothing that direct regulation will be able to do. They can't command some sort of miracle technology that will do beyond that which these companies, these manufacturers already strive to do. So what that means is the only real policy option on the table, and it's the only one that's been discussed at the international level, that was the negotiations I spoke of earlier, is a carbon tax. So they're just going to put the most likely and indeed the only plausible option for this regulation is to put a per-ticket carbon tax. Who knows ultimately what it would be, you know, $1 to $5 or perhaps even greater. I mean, I have not heard any definite numbers bandied about, but that's what we're looking at. Another surcharge on your airline ticket, you know, to join the 30 other surcharges. And this one comes complements of the EPA and environmental special interests.
Last question here for you, Will. And you mentioned that this is a problem of the Obama administration's own making once they decided to tie climate change and the Clean Air Act together. There could potentially be a solution here if the administration would like there to be, because I would assume a congressional statute could block this in its path. And with a Republican Congress, the president could probably find allies on this if he's so inclined. But are they?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a great deal of bipartisan opposition in both chambers of Congress to what this president is doing. And that is wholly divorced from the science of global warming. Deniers and alarmists both agree, to a large extent, or there is agreement, I should say, among them, that the Clean Air Act is simply an inappropriate vehicle for this particular policy. Congress passed the Clean Air Act in 1970 when people were scared of global cooling. The act is meant to deal with pollutants like ozone and sulfur dioxide and particulate matter. It in no way is meant to deal with a pollutant as ubiquitous as carbon dioxide, as greenhouse gases. It's just the mechanisms it lays out to fight pollution. They're just not up to the task of mitigating climate change. It's a whole, you know, it's just an inappropriate vehicle, an awkward vehicle, and one that is going to cause all sorts of economic harm. And that was a decision, that was essentially what the Bush administration said. It's a very clear-headed, level-headed decision. But that was the logic that was foregone by this administration. They decided to plow ahead. And as I said, they bit off more than they can chew, just because the Clean Air Act is just an awful way to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. It's a poor fit. It's like trying to hammer a square into a round hole. It doesn't work.
Will, we'll have to stop there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Will Yeatman is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.